Chapter 7. Growing Up. Once Amy had arrived in Europe and settled into traveling around, the March family received many letters from her detailing her experiences and adventures. Amy wrote to them from London, Paris, and Heidelberg, and everyone read her letters with excitement, including Joe. While each day was happily passing for Amy in Europe, little did she know how her sisters were really getting on at home. Perhaps her mother didn't want to upset Amy with any news about Beth, so she confided in Joe about what she was thinking. "Joe, I'm worried about Beth," said Mrs. March one day. "What's the matter?" asked Joe. "She sits alone a lot and doesn't talk to her father as much as she used to. And when she sings, the songs are always sad ones." "Have you asked her about it?" "I have tried once or twice, but she doesn't answer me." "I think she's just growing up," Joe then said, after seeing her mother's look of anxiety. "She's now 18 and not a child anymore. She's beginning to have hopes, fears, and dreams, but we cannot guess how she might react to any of these things." "I suppose you're right, Joe," said her mother. "I am so thankful to have you at home, now that Meg is gone. Beth is so weak, and Amy is too young to depend on, but you're always here when I need you." "If you need anything, Marmy, I'm here for you," said Joe warmly. "I'll leave Beth to you then. She will open her little heart to her Joe before anyone else." After that, Joe watched Beth very closely whenever she could. After some time of this, Joe thought she had made a discovery. "Mercy on me, Beth loves Lori," Joe said to herself, sitting down on her bed, pale with shock. Although Lori flirted with Amy and joked with Joe, he was always kind and gentle with Beth. But then, so was everyone. So no one thought that he cared for her more than anyone else. In fact, lately the family thought that Lori was becoming fonder of Joe, who wouldn't hear a word on the subject. From the moment of her discovery, Joe watched Lori very carefully. Joe let ideas get into her head that she wouldn't usually have allowed, and one night she felt that she saw Beth and Lori act more lovingly than usual toward one another. For certain, it was just Joe's imagination, but it caused her to consider the relationship between Beth and Lori. "Who knows? Stranger things have happened," thought Joe. "She will make him a good man, and he will make life delightfully pleasant for her if they really do love each other. I do believe Lori would love Beth if the rest of us were out of the way." Since everyone was out of the way except for Joe, she began to feel like she should go somewhere else for a little while. A few days later, Joe had made up her mind and spoke to her mother about her plans. "You asked me the other day what my wishes were. I'll tell you one of them," she began. "I want to go away somewhere this winter for a change." "Why, Joe?" asked her mother. "I want something new. I feel restless and anxious, and I'd like to be seeing, doing, and learning more than I am now." "Where will you go?" "To New York, dear Marmy. You know Mrs. Kirk wrote to you for some respectable young person to teach her children. I think I should suit the job if I tried." "But what about your writing, Joe?" "The change will help me to write. I'll see and hear new things and get new ideas." "Are these your only reasons for wanting to go?" asked Mrs. March. "No, Mother," said Joe quietly. "It may be wrong to say it, but I'm afraid Lori is growing too fond of me."
"Then you don't care for him in the way that he seems to care for you?"
"Oh, no. I love the dear boy, as I always have, but anything more is out of the question," answered Joe.
"I'm glad of that, Joe. As friends, you are very happy, but I think you are too much alike. You both have hot tempers and strong characters, which will make it hard for you to get on happily together."
"I'd better go before he decides to express his feelings for me," Joe then said.
"I agree with you, so you will go to New York this winter."
The plan was agreed upon, and Mrs. Kirk gladly accepted Joe and promised to make a pleasant home for her.
When all was settled, Joe told Lori about her plan to go. He listened very quietly and took the news very well. When Joe left, Lori said goodbye to her, of course. To her surprise, he also whispered to her, "Leaving won't do a bit of good, Joe. My eye is on you, so mind what you do, or I'll come and bring you home." Soon after her arrival in New York, Marmee and Beth were overjoyed to receive a long letter from Joe. In it, Joe detailed her first few days at Mrs. Kirk's. She said Mrs. Kirk was a very kind lady, and her children, two young girls, had taken a liking to Joe right away. Mrs. Kirk was a very busy woman because she ran a boarding house, which she also lived in. In the big house, Joe had her own comfortable room, and she taught the children in the nursery. In her letter, Joe also mentioned a kind man that she met one day who lived in the boarding house too. His name was Mr. Frederick Bear, and he was a professor giving lessons to support himself. He was from Germany, and as Joe explained in her letter, he was a strong-looking man with thick brown hair, a bushy beard, and kind eyes. After some time getting to know Mr. Bear, Joe began to take German lessons from him because she enjoyed his style of teaching. As the days at Mrs. Kirk's passed, Joe found herself very busy with her daily work, but she still found the time to write. She went from writing sensational stories, which she felt ashamed to write, to very moral stories, then to children's tales. No matter what she wrote, she was never satisfied with the result, and her stories were rejected by the newspapers. She eventually decided to give up her writing for a while, saying to herself one day, "I don't know anything, so I'll wait until I do before I try to write anything again." No one noticed Joe had given up writing except Professor Bear. They had become great friends as the weeks went by and were becoming closer every day. Little did Joe know at the time that even though her pen lay idle, her own romantic story was developing. Joe didn't leave Mrs. Kirk's until June, and everyone seemed sorry when the time came, especially Mr. Bear. When it was time for Joe to say goodbye to Mr. Bear, she said, "Now, sir, you won't forget to come see us if you ever travel our way, will you? In fact, please come next month. It's Laurie's graduation, so there will be many celebrations to attend." "That is your best friend that you always speak of?" asked Professor Bear. "Yes, my boy Teddy. I should like you to meet him." Mr. Bear thought he recognized something in Joe's face indicating that Joe might think of Lori as more than a best friend. He hid his disappointment with a forced smile. "I fear I won't make it in time for that, but I wish your friend much success and you all the happiness." With those words, Mr. Bear left the room. That night, while alone in his room, Mr. Bear thought about Joe and said to himself, "This is not for me. I must not hope for it now." He then sighed and tried to concentrate on reading a book. The next morning, Mr. Bear saw Joe off at the station. Thanks to him, she began her journey home with the pleasant memory of a familiar face smiling farewell.